going to read from the Pulpit Bible. Good morning. Welcome to our worship service at Gates Presbyterian Church. We, each of us, come with our own hopes and joys, our fears and our faith and our doubts, and bring them here, and God takes it all and kind of smushes it all together and makes out of us a community of faith and hope and love. So welcome to our worship together. There are a couple of announcements that I know about, so let's just start with those.
Good morning, I'm Beth Molina. You probably saw the parade of our fabulous youth outside the door as you came in this morning, and that's because today is Wheelathon Day. We absolutely love to have your pledges to our youth as they go out and follow through on this fundraiser. Two items. You're all welcome to join us for our picnic after our walk, ride, whatever they're doing is done. And there are maps out on the table. And also for the youth who are participating, we must have a permission slip from you. They did not get into your envelopes, but Keisha has some, and they're also out on the table, so please be sure to get those signed so that we're all legal. Second announcement I have this morning is just to finish up our season with Red Wings. So we had a fabulous season of fundraising at the Red Wings game. This is in support of the seniors who are going to Jamaica in February. And I'm happy to announce that our total for fundraising was $4,015.
Good morning. This is Velta Rushon. Just a reminder that next week we celebrate our renewal time here at Gates with Jeremiah Food Truck and Luigi's Ice Cream. So please wish for a sunny, warm day so we can enjoy all of that. Thank you.
Yes, next Sunday we welcome Melissa back. We're drawing to a close our time of renewal, and it's getting close to time that I'll be saying goodbye to you. As John said this morning, this is your last solo Sunday, isn't it? I don't think of it as solo, but yeah, next Sunday, Melissa and I will be sharing the leadership in worship together. And for both my wife and I, this has been a wonderful time. I've enjoyed working with you, worshiping with you, and sharing fellowship together, getting to know some of you, and so we really appreciate this opportunity to be with you during this time of renewal. There are a couple of things. When I first came here, you know, all these people were strangers, and so you gave me a book, a pictorial directory of you know, all the members of the church, and there's names and addresses in the back and all like that. And this has been very helpful. You know, I could say, Mary and I would go home and say, who was that person? You know, and we would look up here in the book. However, there are some drawbacks. This book was put together in 2012, and a lot of you are not in the book. And there's another problem, too, and that is as I look at you folks and then I look at your pictures in the book, y'all are a lot younger in the book. I'm not going to not supposed to complain, but you need a new book. Are there other announcements to be made? Then let us still our hearts and center our minds in the love of God as we listen to the prelude and the introit.
When Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, or one of the prophets." And we hear similar voices from our world. Some say he was a great prophet. Some say he was a misguided revolutionary. And others, he is just ancient history. Then Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter spoke for the disciples, "You are the Messiah." Peter speaks for us all. In so many ways, Jesus is the fulfillment of our hopes and one whom we will follow.
as we draw this season of renewal to a close, it might be good for us to take a little bit of time to do some reflecting on what we have experienced. A lot has gone on this summer and September. Our young people have been on mission trips where they met different folks who live in different circumstances. Some of our number went to a retreat at Stony Point where they lived and worked in an interfaith community. We have had visits from Jews and Muslims who interpreted their faith to us, and we went to visit their places of worship as well. And last Sunday we had Amal Nasser with us, the international peacemaker, a Palestinian, who talked to us about her experience. So let's just take a few minutes to think about what has gone on. Were there any surprises? Did anybody come across something that really surprised them? You're all cool with what happened. Well, that's good. Did anything bother you? You know, one thing, when we went to visit the Islamic Center, the mosque, I was pretty anxious about that. I have been in synagogues plenty of times. At Hornell, the synagogue was across the street from the Presbyterian Church, and so I was over there quite a bit. But that was a new experience, and I wasn't sure how that would go. And there was some apprehension there. Anybody else have anything you'd like to share? What did we learn through all of this? Does anybody have any thoughts about that? Anything we learned? Oh, we just kind of did our thing. Yeah, back here. Hi. So similarities between our religion, that was a real learning experience. And the fact that these folks from other faiths welcomed us into their fellowship, into their worship, and they didn't look askance upon us, they welcomed us and were glad of our fellowship with them. Any other thoughts? Yes. Yes. Okay. The political nature of what we're doing is fraught with some kind of interesting stuff around the edge. Okay. That's what it means to make a witness. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the sermon, but let's kind of hold those thoughts together right now. Frona's going to lead the children in our thoughts for children. There she is. command. Help them to grow to be strong and faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The reading this morning is from Mark 8, 27 through 33. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." Thank you.
I neglected to add during the announcements that next week, which is a busy Sunday, is also World Communion Sunday, where we celebrate our unity with Christians from around the world. And it is also, in that same spirit, the Sunday when we take up the offering for peacemaking. And with a lot of these offerings, we have to kind of interpret them, because you don't see the results or the what happens with this offering quite so much. But last Sunday, we had a visit from an international peacemaker, and that is possible. She's one of nine people that are in presbyteries all over this country from other parts of the world. And her visit to us was made possible by this peacemaking offering that we're going to be taking up next Sunday. So please keep that in mind as you give generously to the offering for peacemaking and global witness. Our second lesson comes to us from the book of Acts. We're reading from chapter 10, beginning to read with verse 34. Peter has been invited to speak at the home of a Gentile, a Roman officer in the Roman army. And this is as strange to Peter as us going to a mosque is. It's two different cultures kind of colliding together there. So we pick up with verse 34. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all to the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This ends our second lesson. Well, it's been quite the adventure this summer. Most of the time, churches kind of go to sleep during the summer. People go off to the lake or something, and the church kind of settles down and doesn't do an awful lot of stuff. But boy, this summer has been different. We have really been busy with all kinds of things, and especially this dialogue, this experience with folks from different faith traditions, from Judaism and from the Muslim world. And so it's been a summer of learning and a summer of thinking about our relationship with other people. One of the things that I've heard from folks in this church is, gee, it seems like we're not so different after all. And there's more to what we have in common than we ever realize. And so today I want to touch on a couple of those things that we share with Jews and with Muslims. But there are differences. There are differences between our faith. That's why we call them different faith. The followers of Muhammad have a particular path of life that they bring to the conversation, and that is theirs, and it belongs to them to tell to the world. The Jews have a particular history and a faith that belongs to them and that they would share with the world. And Christians have a particular lens through which we see the world, ourselves, and everything in it. We see things through Jesus Christ, and that's a different kind of approach to things. And so one of the interesting things that happens in interfaith dialogue is we learn to appreciate where other people are coming from and what's important to us, to them, but that makes us ask questions about our own faith and makes us say, well, what is really important to us and why do we believe those kinds of things? So I want to touch on those things as well. So have you got a couple of hours to spend with me? Not everybody thinks this is a good idea. Maybe we ought to start there. Not everybody thinks that conversations with other faiths are something that we should do. Talking to people might corrupt you, might cause you to turn away from the truth that is in your faith, and you shouldn't do it. In all of these faith communities, there are people who say that you should not engage in dialogue with the unbeliever, with the infidel, or with the heretic, whatever you want to call those other people, and they would prefer to keep the separation and the distance between us. A couple of Sundays ago, there were a couple of visitors in our congregation. We were talking about getting ready for the Muslim students. At that time, I thought there were going to be more than just one of them. And these folks were so sure that they liked what they heard, that there would be Muslims speaking in a Christian community, to a Christian congregation. So not everybody is really on board with doing what we have been doing. So let's think about it. I would like to introduce to you the David Kilgore theory of interfaith relationships. This is not something that I particularly read in a book that I remember anyway. It's just kind of the way that I approach it. And so I'd like to share that with you. And what it is a series of concentric circles. You know, a small circle surrounded by a bigger circle, which is surrounded by an even bigger circle, and on like that. And for me, the small circle, the inner circle, is the people that I talk with that are probably the most like me. And for me, that's other Presbyterians. And we talk together. We have kind of our own language. We have some inside jokes that are Presbyterian jokes. And we have our own problems that we love to complain about. And all that stuff makes us Presbyterians. We have a particular history and a particular experience in life that has brought us to where we are. And I like being a Presbyterian. I even like going to presbytery, which is kind of weird, but I like it. And these are people that I share an awful lot with. And sometimes we argue together, but we are in that kind of inner circle. But this doesn't mean that I don't talk to people from other denominations. It doesn't mean that I am supposed to consider myself superior to them or look down upon them. Some of my best friends are Methodists, you know. So we have another circle that we might call the Protestant experience. And we too have a particular experience within that circle. And so with other churches, other denominations, we have conversations, we talk a lot. In many communities, we have ministerial associations where the ministers get together and we work together in our churches to make a common witness, and we do an awful lot together. There's things we don't do together. When I'm talking to my Methodist friends, I never complain about the Presbyterian Church. I never complain about how this bureaucracy is so slow. I may do that in the inner circle, but not in the little bigger circle. So there's a lot that we do, but there's some stuff we don't do. And then there's an even bigger circle that encompasses the Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox faith and maybe a couple of other religious groups. That what we share in common is a Christian faith. And together we talk to each other and we do things together in our communities and in our world, and we experience a certain fellowship. That's also a learning experience, however, because there is some strangeness between us. I don't know if you caught this, but do you remember when the Muslim student was here a couple of Sundays ago? And Fatima said that this was the first Christian service of worship she had ever attended. But the lady who brought her, Norma Bradbury, said she was a Catholic, and if I heard her right, she said this was the first Protestant service she had ever been to. And so she had a learning experience in coming to talk to us. But she said something during our joys and concerns that really touched me. As we were lifting up our concerns, she asked us to pray for the Catholics who were going through the agony of these sexual abuse, this whole scandal of sexual abuse by their priests. And I've long been concerned about that scandal, but you know, it never dawned on me to pray for them. And I was really touched by that prayer request. This was suddenly not their problem, you know. It was something that all of us in that Christian circle, that affects all of us in real ways. And so we learn, we share experiences, some are new experiences and some are common experiences, and we work together an awful lot. There are some things, however, that we cannot do as Protestants and Catholics. We cannot share communion together. The differences between our faith just don't let that happen. As much as we would like to, we understand communion in somewhat different ways, and the powers that be in the Catholic Church don't think it's a good idea. And then there's a bigger circle, and that is a circle that brings in Jews and Muslims. It's an interfaith circle. And in there we realize, as we talk to one another, that there are a lot of things that we do have in common. There are differences, but as we talk more and more, we realize there are more similarities than we thought there were. And we learn as we talk together that these are real people just like we are. We quit making stereotypes about them and see individuals that we can relate to. Rabbi Till, Fatima, these are real people, and it helps us an awful lot to see a religious faith not as some kind of monolithic thing, but as something that particular people believe and hold very dear. So, what are some of those similarities? We all worship the same God. Jews and Christians and Muslims worship the same God. The Muslims use the word Allah, but Allah is simply an Arabic word for God. When Christians in the Middle East, who speak Arabic as their native language, worship God, they too use the word Allah, because it's God. It's just like in a different language, just like French people use Dios, you know. It's just a different language, a different word, same word in a different language. And so we worship God together. And we worship in different ways, but it's the same God. And we believe some of the same things about God, that God is essentially a God of mercy and love and forgiveness, but that God also insists that we walk a path of faithfulness, that God is concerned about things like justice and faithfulness and charity. And so in our own ways, we try to do the same kind of thing in the Christian life and in the Jewish life and in the Islamic life. We come from the same family in a lot of ways. We, all of us, say that we are children of Abraham. And we mean different things by that, but we have kind of the same story of our origin. The Jews look to Isaac, the son of Abraham, and who was the ancestor of the 12 tribes of Israel. The Muslims look to Ishmael, who was also a son of Abraham and who was father of the Arab nation. And Christians have a kind of a little bit different perspective on it, but we still say we're children of Abraham, because Abraham is the great biblical model of faithfulness, of trusting God even though you can't see the future. And we say that anyone who lives by faith, who trusts God like that, is a child of Abraham. And so we are also children of Abraham, and we just pile right on and say we're all the children of Abraham. But there are differences. That's why we're different religions. And as we talk to one another and get to know one another better and get to know what our similarities are, we also ask, what are our differences and why do we believe what we believe? And a lot of that has to do with the person of Jesus Christ. It has to do with the names that we use for Christ. the titles that we apply to him. Now, we heard Fatima say that Muslims revere Jesus as a great prophet. And that sounds pretty good. It's not, however, the same thing that Christians mean when they talk about Jesus. Maybe it sounds a little bit better, actually, than the historic things that Jews have said about Jesus and that Christians have said about Jews, because that's what they say about Jesus. The hostility, the historic hostility between Jews and Christians, I think, it's really because we are one family. And, you know, there are no fights like family fights. That's where we say the worst things about each other. And so, in our common history, we have said bad things about each other and done even worse things, which led in the last century to the Holocaust. But it's really about a lot that basically we have in common. Some of the names that we call Jesus are the Messiah or Christ, like Peter spoke about Jesus in our first lesson this morning. We call Jesus the Son of God. We call him our Lord. And these are all really Jewish concepts. They really rise out of the Jewish faith. And, you know, Jesus was a Jew. And the first Christians were Jews. And they didn't think of themselves as particularly different from their neighbors. They just had this little twist on things that they believed in Jesus. And then those differences began to be magnified, and Christians and Jews began to separate further and further apart. But it all comes out of that common heritage that we share with Jews, that Old Testament heritage. When Jesus walked the earth, when he was teaching and preaching and healing people, a lot of what he said was confrontational, and people took it different ways. Some people said, this is blasphemy. And you know, they had a point in some ways, because what he was saying was really kind of radical. But other people listened to him, and they thought among themselves, and they said, you know, when he was with us, we felt like God was with us closer than we had ever experienced before. It was like when he was with us, God was with us. And so Christians began to say, maybe this was the Son of God. And then there's this thing, the crucifixion. And that too was a dividing point. Because for some people, this was proof that this man was not the Son of God. I mean, how in the world could God allow his son to be crucified? That's the proof that he's not, that he was a fake charlatan, but not what those other people say about him. And yet for other people, the crucifixion was a dramatic point, not only in Jesus' life, but in their own lives, because in that experience, they felt something changed about them. It confronted who they were, but they also felt like not only were they guilty of letting him be crucified, but they were also forgiven. They felt redeemed. And so for them, it was not like a rejection of Jesus. It was the proof of God's amazing love working through Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul says that it's really at the cross that we are reconciled to God and reconciled even to each other. Greek and Jew and barbarian, we're all pulled together at that central experience that is the cross. And for the Christian faith, that makes all the difference in the world. And so Christians look at the world in a kind of a different way. We look at the world through the experience of knowing Jesus Christ. We call him our Savior. We call him the Son of God. We call him our Lord. And knowing that is what gives us hope and courage for the future. For us, it makes all the difference in the world. So these are some concentric circles. To say that we are Presbyterian does not mean we don't like people who are not Presbyterian. To say that we are Protestant, thank goodness, no longer means that we have to hate the Catholics. And to say that we are Christians is to offer the world a unique perspective on the world, but it's also possible to reach out, to understand and appreciate those who are different. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this season of renewal and learning. We thank you for our own faith that holds us up in trouble and allows us to celebrate our joy. And we thank you for the faith of neighbors that likewise hold them up and allow them to celebrate your good word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we go into our time of prayer together, are there particular joys or concerns that we want to pay particular attention to and lift up?
Hello, this is Aileen Sitinsky. A lot of you have been asking about my mother, Jean Sclair. So I just wanted to let you know she did fall about 2.5 weeks ago at Mill Landing, fractured her pelvis in 2 places, so then she spent 8 days at Unity Hospital. And then we moved her from there to Hamilton Manor Nursing Home on Long Pond Road. I want to personally thank Dottie Madaw for her wise counsel. Thank you, Dottie. And I want to thank you, those of you who have already sent her cards there, thank you so much. But mostly I want to thank you for your prayers and ask for continued prayers that she gets the care that she needs. Thank you so much.
May I interrupt that just for a minute? I saw Jean in the hospital, and then last week I went to see her at the nursing home. When I saw Jean in the hospital, I was really scared because it was like the wall had gone down and she didn't acknowledge even that there was anybody in the room. And I was really worried about her. But then I saw her in the nursing home. I went in the door and there's a big window that you can see into the activities room, and she was in there with a whole bunch of other people. And I waved at her, and she got this big smile on her face, and she waved back. And then I went in to see her, and, you know, so much of who she was coming back in that place. And I just really rejoiced that she's able to enjoy the world again. And I'm going to give thanks to God for that. So, thank you. Sorry about that interruption. Other joys or concerns?
Yes, indeed. Keith Morgan. I want to ask for prayers for the people of North Carolina. Paulette and I just spent a week in Western North Carolina. We heard tale after tale on public radio of whole towns being destroyed, people losing their homes probably forever, actually. And while we were there, it rained the entire time, and we all know where that water's going.
Okay, we'll keep the folks in North Carolina in our prayer.
Paula Sousa, bear with me here. You all know that Jim's sister died in August. And when she died, she was in the Wilmot Cancer Center. Well, her new daughter-in-law was going to be the pharmacist in the cancer center.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. She and my nephew will be coming home from Wisconsin very soon. So we're rather happy about that. It's ironic, but it's wonderful.
Chapman. My name may not, or my picture in that directory book, but there's another book that my name is in, and that's the Book of Life in Heaven. And this morning in our breakfast for the men, as 11 of us sat around the table, we studied about 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy these words: "But I know whom I have believeth. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." My name, I know, is in that book of life. And I am thankful. And that's one of the differences between our other religions that I'm thankful for.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Jordan. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. There is a chill in the air, O Lord, and we have an idea of what that means. It's time for the changing of the seasons. And so we savor the afterglow of summer, and we anticipate the coming of autumn. It's a time to enjoy the beauty of your world and to give thanks for the gift of each day. It's a time of transitions as we move from one season into the next. So we bring to you our prayers for others going through their own transitions and their own times of change. We pray for those who are uncertain about the future, those who are unemployed or who have economic fears. We ask you to watch over those who struggle with family issues, where there are tensions between generations, where relationships are troubled, and where there is abuse and pain and a loss of trust. We remember those who mourn the loss of loved ones, who need your comfort and compassion. We remember all those who are sick or ill, those recuperating from surgery or undergoing treatment for medical issues. Bring healing in both body and spirit, we pray. We remember also those for whom transition means good news, and we thank you for joys shared in this fellowship, for Jean's improvement, for a new pharmacist coming to Wilmot and how that all came to be. We lift up our prayers for those suffering from flooding, and especially in North Carolina. We pray for them and their loss of property, of life and livelihood. We give you thanks for first responders, for all those who come to the aid of those in need in terms of rebuilding and beginning life anew. Be with your church, O God, in its ministry. We celebrate our time of renewal in this congregation and what it has taught us about understanding and living in dialogue with others. We pray for the leadership teams in the church, for Pastor Melissa and her family, for the men's breakfast crew, and for all who serve and support this church. In all that we do, let us be good and effective servants of Jesus Christ. We pray for the Christian church throughout the world, for Christians in Palestine and other places in the Middle East, for Christians in North Korea who worship in secret, for our own Catholic brethren reeling from the abuse scandals. Give us all strength and courage. Give us joy and gladness in knowing Christ our Lord. We make these prayers in his name, and we close with the prayer he taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship as we bring our gifts to God. give you thanks for your love and your care for us that watches over us all our days and provides for all our needs. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ who brought us together into this circle of hope and faith. And we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you use these gifts, that you use this church, and that you use our lives to declare your love in all the world. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out into the world in peace, honor all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.